Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood. You're tuned in to another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. May I remind you that we in our society today are faced with multitudinous issues, and we need to face them, answer them, respond to them based on the authority of the Bible. I call myself a central biblicist, and I've said that for many years. And what exactly does that mean? That simply means that every issue that we're faced with, we look at it from a biblical standpoint. You see, ladies and gentlemen, God created the home, He created government, and He created the church, and in that order. And in each of those institutions, you will find throughout Scripture coverage of that and an answer to any of those issues. So we faced issues today. We need to do so based on the Scripture. Jesus told His disciples, if you continue in My word, you're My disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, in John 8:31 and 32. And then Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. And so someone said recently, truth is the most misunderstood, misused, abused, and non-respected word in the English vocabulary today. And the more I see and the longer I live, the more I believe that to be an absolute fact. We're talking about today a divided society. If you want to call it that, we could call it society out of control. I believe we're watching our society today plummet into the abyss. But ladies and gentlemen, I believe it's simply according to the Scripture. Jesus warns us, the Word of God warns us explicitly. When you look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, this know also in the last days, perilous times shall come. It's an interesting little word study on that Greek word that we have in the English Bible, perilous. Perilous simply means difficult, dangerous, deadly, dark, divisive, corrupt, depraved, disrespective, deceptive. And there's a total of about 11 different words that could be interchanged for perilous times. And I believe we're finding that. We're certainly seeing this in our society today. All you've got to do is listen to some of the television broadcasts. If you wanted to listen to the Communist Network News or the MSNBC, ABC, CBS, et cetera, et cetera, most of what is called correct news is not given. But if you want to hear good fake news, and President Trump is exactly right in his categorization of that, fake news today is giving us the wrong picture of what's happening in society. We see a society today, and the broadcast yesterday, we talked about intolerance. Every group that claims that we as moral, ethical Christian citizens ought to be tolerant, they're the most intolerant group on the face of the globe. The LGBT and the group that is trying to take over America called the Islamic Jihadist. And I could go on and on and on. But one of the major problems we're finding today, ladies and gentlemen, that's rearing its head up on the public arena is the socialist group. And many are not aware of the fact that in the House and the Senate, we have over 100, hear me, we have over 100 socialists involved in the House and the Senate. And they're proud socialist members. In fact, one in upstate New York, 28-year-old Alexandra Cortez, young lady, female, socialist Democrat, won a New York primary last evening over Joe Crowley. Joe Crowley had been in some 32, 37 years. In fact, he was looking forward to taking over if the Democrats take control of the House. He was looking toward being the Speaker of the House. But Joe Crowley lost. How did he lose? Because we had a socialist running against him. And Cortez, in her platform, was basically fivefold, and part of that platform included guarantee of income for every person, whether you work or not, health coverage free for everyone, college, university education free for everyone, no cost. She wanted to close the Department of Immigration Control and Enforcement, called ICE. She said that we no longer need ICE. We put that in place, ladies and gentlemen, shortly after 9/11, in order to keep the jihadists and others that want to tear America down out of our cities and our states. And she is for no borders. Literally, if you're a person that wants no borders, you're a person that's against the constitutional republic called the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, we are concerned with what we see taking place. Today, we have our special guest on the microphone with us, Brother Don Redman. Don is running for city council Group 4 at large. And he's here on the microphone with us today. We're going to have some good conversation with Don, because he was 8 years in the city council, did a super job when he was there before. And, of course, I'm a little partial. I've known Don as a personal friend for almost 40 years. And I know it's more than just a political rhetoric, and I know it's not just a political facade for what he says and what he does, because where he stands morally, ethically, and spiritually is where he stands on the political issues that face our city today. And so I pray that you'll be praying for Don Redman in his run for City Council Group 4 at large. We're going to talk with Don in just a moment about some of these things, but I want to set the stage a little further with the extended monologue so that you'll understand the big picture in a capsulization form. But ladies and gentlemen, if you want to join in this dialogue and discussion, feel free to do so. You can dial 401-1413, 904-401-1413, and you may disagree. That's fine. I want to hear from you. This program is designed around you, our listener, so that you can be informed, educated, and challenged to be salt and light as God calls us to be. We can no longer, as Christians, sit in the closet and pretend that everything's going to be all right. I've heard people say, well, you know, if we just leave things alone, Jesus is going to take care of it. Yes, he is, but we're his hands, his feet, his eyes, his arms, his leg, and his tongue, and he would have us to be involved as salt and light. In fact, in Matthew 5, 14, 15, 16, it's on the right page, the left column in my Bible, about two-thirds down the way of the column on the page, where he says, you are the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. And Jesus also says, if salt is worthless, if it is still in the shaker, it's lost its savor, it's worthless, needs to be cast out and trodden underfoot. And when he talks about you're the salt and of the world and the light of the world, he's talking about you out there. He's talking about me as Christians today. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you've kept up with some of the intolerance that we've seen, but the owner of an LGBT, the owner of a restaurant called the Red Hen in Lexington, Virginia, and her queer staff, that's the LGBTQ sodomite perverted staff that runs the restaurant, chase Sarah Huckabee Sanders, which is the President Trump's press secretary, chased her out of the restaurant. It was bad enough to be chased out of the restaurant simply because you're a conservative and because you work for the president. But when she and her husband went home for a quiet meal, her extended family went across the street to have dinner at the restaurant right across the street. Oh, that wasn't good enough, because the owner of the restaurant and her LGBTQ staff ran across the street, stood out front calling the family all kind of epithets and using the F word profusely and demanding that the restaurant owner chase them out of there. In fact, that restaurant owner was interviewed this morning at 6:30 on Fox News, and he said he had no intent to do that, and he thought it was a shame in America where one restaurant owner would do that, and then secondly, where they would come across the street and want him to chase them out of his restaurant. That is a shame. And then for Attorney General Pam Bondi to be chased out of a theater in Tampa, Florida, and called all kind of filthy, vile names, and spitting in her hair as they got close to her to chase her out. They wanted to force her to respond in a retaliatory fashion so that she could be accused of something, and they claimed that it was because of her stand on immigration. Well, Pam Bondi, the Attorney General of the state of Florida, basically hadn't got anything to do with the immigration policy of the nation. And then Homeland Security Secretary kicked out of a Mexican restaurant just because she works for the Trump administration. And then Maxine Waters, the socialist of all socialists that's in our nation's House of Representatives. Maxine Waters, it's got a colorful history of that kind of rhetoric ever since she's been elected in the 70s, calling people to arms, calling people to chase people out. If you find them in restaurants, if you find them at the service station, wherever you find them in the public, confront them and chase them out, she says. Ladies and gentlemen, she's talking about anarchy. It's the Saul Alinsky approach in the Rules for Radicals, the Saul Alinsky approach to tear down and destroy the constitutional republic that we have today. Ladies and gentlemen, with our guest on the microphone, Don Redman, and Don is running for Group 4 at large, City Council. Don, tell us, you've heard some of this stuff, and I've got a lot of other information to talk about, but tell us something about your candidacy, who you are, why you're running, and how our listeners can help. Ladies and gentlemen, again, I'm biased. I want you to understand that. I want Don elected because of his moral, ethical, Christian stand on these issues that we're talking about now. You might say, well, how does that affect our city? Because right now we have a group of the most liberal city council members I've seen in almost 40 years that I've been in Jacksonville. And so I'm prayerful that Don will be elected, but I want Don to share for a minute what his aspirations are, what his goals are, what he's wanting to accomplish when elected, not if elected, but when elected, and I want to challenge you, our listener, to get on board. Call him. Say, I'm going to volunteer. I want to get signs up. I want to do anything I can to help you get elected. Don, talk with us a minute. Tell us something about your candidacy and what you're wanting to accomplish.
Thank you, Brother Gene. Thanks for the opportunity to be here and share today. And I am running for city council. I serve 8 years as a district council person on the city council, where I fought hard against some issues that were pushed on our city at that time. We defeated the HRO amendment at that time, but then it came back. Then this group that is in there now passed that amendment.
Well, Don, I think they passed it because their campaign was bought and paid for by the LGBT community.
Their campaign was bought and paid for by the LGBT community and those that are out here that just afraid to take a stand on what. You know, a lot of them know what's right, and they're afraid to take a stand. As Brother Gene was saying, you know, you're going to be salt or light. You got to take your stand. We've sit back so long and let people destroy what we had in this nation. The Constitution is still our Constitution, and we need to stand for our rights. And my goal is to restore these family values to our city.
Amen.
We have to take a stand. We have to get some people in office that will take a stand, that will vote right, that will. And when you are looking at the literature that these candidates put out, when you go to hear them speak or where you hear them speak, check them out. Check them out and make sure that they are truly for family values, for what. You know, God has given us the ability to know right from wrong, and we know that. And we have a group of people out here that want to force us to say that their illegitimacy is right, to say that homosexuality is right. God did not create anything other than man and woman.
He created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
That's exactly right. And he doesn't intend for us to change that. We have gotten to a point now where they want us to accept the transvestites as a lifestyle that would be a part of our business or be a part of our life. And, you know, it's not normal.
Well, Don, you say that, and it triggers in my mind that right now there's a battle within the that constituency group in our city, the transvestites, the transsexuals, the perverts, and the pedophiles, and the LGBT group, because several have been killed in our city. And the four that have been killed were transsexuals, that is, with all the male markings, if you will, all the indications of being male, but dressed and acting the part of a female, and yet they've been killed on our streets in the city. I watched the city council meeting last night for several hours and got a little ill with it because speaker after speaker after speaker was coming up representing the LGBT community, and they're blaming our police chief, Mike Williams, our elected sheriff. They're blaming Mike Williams as sheriff. They're blaming the sheriff's department for allowing this to take place. Well, murders happen all over our city, and the police officers do not check the sexuality to determine how they're going to respond to it. And on one of the occasions where a female, a acting female, but a male, was killed, and then it was discovered that it was a transsexual, just because it was reported as a male, then all of a sudden the LGBT community all up in arms. The transsexual attorney that represents the Equality Jacksonville, speaking to city council last night, all upset because it seems that the sheriff and all of the police officers are literally targeting them and letting them get killed. Now, that's the most asinine, stupid thing that I could ever hear. Talk with us about that issue. Is it right for the city council to take the position that somehow, some way, the sheriff is wrong because this particular group of citizens are getting killed?
No, it's not right, Brother Gene. I think our sheriff is doing a good job. I appreciate our police department, and they are under pressure to bow down to these groups of people that choose to be different and then wonder why the world cannot accept them as a normal lifestyle. They go into a lifestyle and do things that promote violence, and they promote their own violence in their own lives. And that doesn't make it right to kill somebody. That's wrong. And our police department does a good job of trying to protect all individuals.
Regardless of ethnicity or regardless of sexuality.
That's right. We can't spend all our money on one group that chooses to live a lifestyle that may be detrimental to their health and well-being, and spend all our time guarding them. We can't do that. Our police department has to protect everybody out there.
Last night, according to the demands from this LGBT Equality Jacksonville group, they're demanding that the city council demand that the sheriff's department accept their sensitivity training out of the LGBT group. Now, that's a stench in the nostrils of God.
It is, and I listened to some of that myself, and you have one person that comes up and calling for the sheriff to be taken out of office and replaced. Mm-hmm. Another one saying that, and all kinds of, issues or things that they want done that are not even sensible, and definitely not that we need to spend our time and energy passing legislation. City council needs to get on about their business, protecting everybody with our police department. We put more money into our police department. We have a good police department now. We have a lot of murders in Jacksonville, not just this group, but in general. We have some gangs in Jacksonville that are killing people. And
the Jacksonville City Charter calls for basically three things. That is the services, that's the garbage, water, and sewage, and police protection. And yet we have within our city charter being forced today all kinds of expenditures from the taxpayers' pockets that's antithetical to the charter. In fact, it's downright illegal based on the city charter, and we're allowing that to take place because of our rank liberalism within the city council today. One of them, for example, now Anna Broche, the president of the city council, is talking about introducing a lynching ordinance. And it's going to be the most divisive thing that can happen, ethnically speaking, for our city. A lynching ordinance, where supposedly you go back and going to set up a monument to recognize those that were lynched in the 1800s in the city of Jacksonville. And yet this same woman, this same president of the city council, is wanting to remove our national heritage monuments in the city of Jacksonville and establish a monument that will be racially, ethnically divisive for our citizens. And yet the city charter doesn't allow for that. I noticed last night as they were giving recognition for a group that's been doing a study, and it's called the Civil Rights Heritage Trail. that they put together a whole plethora of information about the civil rights. Said, we're the only city in the state of Florida doing that. And Jim Love stood up and said, well, how much money are we going to need from the city council for us to go forward with this, et cetera? And it's a willingness to spend city taxpayers' dollars on issues that's not covered under the city charter. So how will you stand as elected to city council on issues like this?
Well, I think this is a very inappropriate move on her part to ask for a plaque or something to
a monument. She wants to put it down in City Square.
Yeah, and it would. It would create more divisiveness. It would create more hostility. We don't need to create more problems. We have enough problems as it is. And to try to remove the statues, which was her first move, to try to remove the statues that, and you can't destroy our history. True, and our history that is here, been here, and we don't need to mess with the statues. We don't need to come up with some idea that. Like what she has come up with.
There's a little brief article on that, Don, if I can jump right in.
Sir.
Anna Lopez Broche, president of the city council in Jacksonville, will introduce ordinance 2018-0420 this Tuesday. That was yesterday, and it was supposedly introduced yesterday evening. I got so tired of watching the rhetoric, I just turned it off. But this ordinance, quote, to claim and install a monument to commemorate the African-American victims of lynchings between 1877 and 1950, to be erected in Hemming Park to serve, number one, as a reminder of a dark chapter of our collective history, number two, to spur an honest conversation about race and justice in our city, number three, to commit to overcome our differences and seek to prevent similar tragedies in the future through mutual understanding and respect. That's absolutely garbage. Why do we want to address? Sure, these things took place back in history past. I understand that. It's wrong. It's never been right biblically, theologically, doctrinally, spiritually. It's all murder is always wrong. But why do we want to dredge something up that's going to cause ethnic division in our city and could go into some type of civil disobedience that we're seeing on a national basis in America now?
Well, murder is wrong. You're right. Any kind of murder is wrong. And we have never celebrated or honored murder. And there's no time to this is not a time to start. This was not a war. This was not a battle such as the statues that we have in the park now. These are battles that were fought in our country by soldiers. We're talking about lynchings that she's talking about, lynchings that were occurred by people in the community.
Out of a hate
such
spirit.
Such as murder that happens on a regular basis out here. So we don't celebrate murder. We do not need to celebrate and cause more friction by putting up a monument or monuments to.
It would be divisive for our city.
It would be very divisive.
And if we're going to do that, let's just do a little hypothetical, Don. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Don Redman. He's the candidate for Group 4 at Large City Council. Looking forward to your questions and comments. You can call us at 401-1413. Join in the dialogue and discussion. If you're out of the area code, it's 904-401-1413. Don Redman, City Council Group 4 at Large candidate. And it is my prayer and desire to see you jump on board and be involved to help. And we're talking about this latest fiasco by the president of the city council. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you're wondering why she's doing this grandstanding garbage, is because it is her aspiration to be the candidate to run against Lenny Curry, our mayor. She's aspiring to the office of mayor of the city of Jacksonville. Not too many months back when the mayor, Lenny Curry, had gone into the city council, she refused to recognize him. She refused to let him address the city council and the audience there. I find that egregious. Whether you agree with Mayor Curry or not, that's irrespective of the discussion, if you agree with him or not, because he's the mayor. And as the mayor, he's the chief executive officer for our city. There was the right and the responsibility of the president of the city council to give the honor and recognition of him, allow him to be heard and seen. But she didn't do that. She wanted to make a case so that she could find fault with him. And this is all grandstanding for a particular group in our city to get votes to hopefully put her in office as mayor. I reject that approach to divide the citizenry on lies and on deceit and on a divisive basis that will cause there to be conflict and confusion in our city. Don, tell us about your race, what you're wanting to accomplish, number one. Number two, tell our people how they can reach you, what they can do. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Don Redmond. He is the candidate for City Council Group 4 at large, City Council seat. And I want him to tell you, our listening audience, how you can help, what his needs are in the campaign. Of course, always a campaign contribution is always beneficial, and I encourage you to do that. And secondly, I encourage you to get on board. Don, tell our people, tell our listeners what they can do to help, how they can become involved, or what they can do and how they can contact you.
Thank you, Brother Gene. I have a website, Vote for Don Redmond, www.voteforDonRedmond. It's donredman.com. You can go on my website and find out a lot more about me. You'll find out that I am very conservative. I've never had a fear of standing up for what's right. I don't mind speaking out and taking a stand on issues that are better for our city, better for our country. I like Brother Gene said, I'm trying to raise enough money to run a good campaign. It takes money. I hate asking for money. The worst part about campaigning for me. But I need anybody that can help in any way to, as we get closer to the race. This election is not until March of next year. We have to get past the state elections in November 1st. But after the first of the year, I will be looking for people that will wave signs for me, people that will contribute in any way they can.
There needs to be a Redmond sign in every front lawn.
Yeah, and I need to get into churches. I need to get into people and talk to people and meet people in different churches around town. So and let people know how I stand. I will be available. My phone number is area code 904-626-9307. I answer my phone. It's my cell phone number, and I answer that anytime anybody calls. I'm a small businessman. I've been in business for over 40 years. I'm an average person out here, a working man. I love the Lord. I serve in my church as an usher. I've been doing that for 40 years. I have been active in the community in many ways. Worked with children's groups, Little League baseball, swim teams. Ran a triathlon production company for years. But, you know, I need your help now. I need, we need people in office that will, not only the city council, school board as well. You need to look at the candidates that are running, check them out, make sure that they have a moral stand that would fit what you know is right. So that's very important. So,
Don, what I see taking place that we just spoke of just a moment ago, ladies and gentlemen, with the ordinance that's being introduced by Anna Broche called the lynching ordinance, I find it just to be just as divisive as Maxine Waters. Here's an article that says Representative Maxine Waters calls for an all-out war as liberal Democrats begin aggressive campaign of harassing the Trump supporters. When a high-ranking congresswoman like Maxine Waters can call for an all-out war on President Trump and his supporters, bad things are in store. Ladies and gentlemen, one particular writer said that what we're seeing taking place in America today, and this is the reason I'm so against, Don, I'm so against seeing this lynching ordinance being proposed by Anna Broche. This article says, up next, 1970-style bombings warns the progressives. The Weather Underground, led by Bill Ayers, Bernadine Dorn, and Mark Rudd, were responsible for bombing the Pentagon, the U.S. Capitol, and other sites in the 1970s. This writer, this particular writer, his name is Hamilton Nolan. He's a socialist anarchist. He said that, do you think being asked to leave a restaurant or having your meal interrupted or being called by the public as being bad? My fascism enabling friends, this is only the beginning of what you'll see in America. And so there's already the push by the anarchist liberals with the Saul Alinsky approach to have anything, including disruption of society by bombings, et cetera, to have their way. We do not need any divisiveness in the city of Jacksonville. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Let's Face the Issues. We've interviewed Don Redman. He's the candidate for City Council Group 4 at large, and it's my desire to see you get actively involved. Don, give us your phone number one more time.
Area code 904-626-9307.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in today. This is Dr. Youngblood. You've been listening to Let's Face the Issues. We look forward to joining you on the air even tomorrow as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal, Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.